Outside, we paused long enough for Slim to hitch up his jeans and wipe the beads of sweat off his face. He took a big gulp of air and looked down at me. Bonehead. That was his hairpiece, and I'm just lucky he didn't make me buy him a new one. Hairpiece? You mean like a wig or something? Oh, gee. Well, it'd sure look like a squirrel to me. Smelled like a squirrel, too. We walked down the steps in front of the courthouse and started toward the pickup. Slim said, "You know, I don't know as I've ever seen a grown man bark at a dog before. It makes you wonder, don't it?" Right. And they wanted to send me to that guy's school? By the time we reached the pickup, Slim had loosened up a bit and had a twinkle in his eye. "Hank, that stunt ain't likely to get you into Phi Beta Clapper, but I've got to admit it was pretty funny. I can't wait to tell Loper." Good. I hope they got $25 worth of laughs out of it because, well, you'll find out. We pulled into ranch headquarters and parked below the house in the shade of the elm trees. Slim climbed out, hitched up his pants, and put on his belt. He was still chuckling to himself and seemed to be in a cheerful mood. Good. It was all part of my plan. And to add sauce to the gander, I put on a blank face that showed no wicked thoughts whatever. A false front that showed happy dog and duh. We use happy dog and duh programs when we don't want them to know what's really going on inside our minds, don't you see? "Well, Pooch, I've got a couple hours of work to do around here. Then we'll go down to my place for the night. How does that sound?" "Oh, great, swell, you bet. Duh. Just what I always wanted to do." Did he think I didn't know his plan? He wanted me to spend the night at his shack so that he wouldn't have to search for me in the morning. Little did he know. Slim hiked down to the corrals to work with a colt. I watched until he dropped out of sight, then I went ripping up the hill to the machine shed. On the gravel drive in front of the shed, I executed a smooth landing and dived through the crack between the big sliding doors. It was pretty dark in there, but that didn't prevent me from, well, stumbling over paint cans, bolt boxes, cutting torch hoses, welding hoods, wads of baling wire, and 57,000 other articles of junk that Slim and Loper had left lying around on the shop floor. If you ask me, those guys are slobs, and I almost broke my neck trying to pick my way through their junkyard. How's a dog supposed to make a stealthy entry into a barn full of... The point is that my stealthy entry into the machine shed wasn't so stealthy. It was very noisy, in fact, but I can't be blamed for that. After staggering and stumbling through acres of junk, I picked my way through the gloomy darkness and headed for the very backest corner. It had been years since I had ventured so deeply into the shed, back into the area where Sally Mae stored old pieces of furniture and where Loper kept his canvas-covered canoe and camping gear, relics from an almost forgotten time in Loper's life, before children and bankers.